All right. Good morning. Good morning. God is good, isn't he? Awesome. All right. How do you sum up the best trip of your life in 5 minutes? It's going to be kind of difficult, but I'm going to try. The teens on this trip really touched me the most. Their heart and compassion for the people really got to me in ways that I didn't really expect and gave me a new appreciation for our church and how you guys raised them up. The people of Belize were amazing. Their love for the community, the love for us, really drove us the whole trip to work harder, to do more. I'm going to share a few stories with you of what touched me the most. On one of the days, I gave a couple of the items that I brought with me to one of the ladies, and you'll hear her story later, but she came back a couple minutes later, and she brought me these two blue bowls, and I will treasure these for the rest of my life because she wanted to do something for me because I gave her those clothes. And it's just amazing all the things that the community wanted to do for us, even though we were trying so hard to give back to them. God was definitely on this trip waging his war for our people. And it just felt like a community when we were done. And we were so sad to leave, but we cherish those stories in our hearts and our minds for forever. We can't even share with you everything that happened because we just love those people so much. We started out with VBS we thought was going to be 25 people. We had no supplies, and God provided. We had 50 kids that day from, little to big, and the barriers were there, but God just tore them down every single day. We grew closer to those kids and the community. On the last day, God was just like, I'm not finished with you yet. And on the boat home, no one knows this, but I was worshiping the whole trip. And God just said, this trip isn't over. It doesn't stop here. And for all of the kids that went on this trip, they know it's not going to just stop there. We're going to bring this into our community and all the people with us. So I can't wait to see what these teenagers do. So I'm going to hand it over to Amethyst so she can tell you a little bit about her experience.
Down in Belize, I mostly worked in the VBS, and the impact it had on the kids really touched me in more ways. I'm sorry. Is it on now? Yeah? Okay. It touched me in more ways than one. And one day it got overwhelming, and I went and sat in the car, and Ryan went on a drive. I think Claire was in the car, too. And Ryan asked me if I wanted that to be the last day of VBS, because we had one more day planned, but we could stop it that day. And previously, like that day, he told me that the pastor of the church that we were working at told him that some of the kids that were at VBS have never been to church before, and they went to church that night after going to VBS, and I knew that we couldn't stop the VBS that one night just because a couple kids didn't listen, because a couple of those kids were really listening to God's word, and they really got to get into it and got to go to church that night. And I know it touched some kids' lives, and it definitely touched ours as well.
I just wanted to say what a blessing it was to be able to go on this trip this year. I was so glad I had the opportunity to work with VBS because I love to work with kids, and I think I made a bigger impact in that. I know it probably doesn't sound like doing much work with VBS, snacks and crafts and just playing all day, but to me, like, it's a huge deal, and the impacts that we made on the children and that they made on us was unforgettable, and it was unreal, and I could probably speak for most of us saying that just being around those kids and building their relationships is unforgettable and completely life-changing. And these kids have nothing, and I learned so much about each one of them and their stories, and they literally have nothing. And yet every single day they were at that work site helping us, and they laugh and they sing with us, and they taught us songs, and it was just amazing. And they probably have bigger hearts than most of us here with nothing. And I'm just so thankful that God brought these kids to us and helped us build relationships.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jerry. Hey. I'm Drayson Nespo. I go to the high school. I play football. Come see us August 19th at New Prairie. I just wanted to share a funny story from Belize. And this is, everybody go first, and then I'll go.
About the river story?
No, just say your name and then.
Oh, my name is Adam Pierzakowski, and I also go to LaPorte High School. I also do play for high school football, but I'm not on his team, unfortunately. Rats.
Okay. But Adam's probably about the funniest person I've ever met, and he was our comedic relief on the trip every night. And when we were at the natural water slides in Belize, me and Brandy were swimming, and we were just we were like hanging on a rock, and then we were like a quiet shout, and it was Adam, and he was stuck in the current, and he was wait, you can do it.
Help!
and
I was that scared.
And so nobody saw Adam swim by. It had been, he'd probably been there for about 10 minutes. Nobody even knew he swam by us. So he was yelling for help, so I had to go and drag him out of the current. And then Brandy swam to a different rock because she was laughing so hard she couldn't breathe and she was about to drown. So I drug Adam out of the current, and then I got him to safety, and then he said that it was so fun that he went back.
Well, actually, I was going to go back through there because I was trying to discover what was down there and stuff, and I thought there was a different way at first, but
he'll continue on the story. Nothing he says ever makes sense. We don't know.
Thank you, Brandy. I love you, too.
It was just so funny because we were the only ones there and we couldn't see him and we just hear this faint help and like we couldn't see him and then we like when you swim around it's funny because like his head's just in the water and like you can just see his head and it's just like spinning like going down the current. He's just like going down the current and you just see his head and he's just like, Drayson. Yeah.
So he goes back again because it was so fun. And then
go because I want to discover.
Yeah. And then I swam back to the rock, and then he started yelling for help again. So I had to try and help him, and then I was laughing so hard I kept slipping off the rocks. And then he started shouting, save yourself! Save yourself!
I didn't want you to get caught up in the mess.
But Adam's safe. He's here now. And we're all
yay,
good.
Yay, I'm not like in the mouth like that river or something.
But
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. That was just a funny story I wanted.
All right, so I'm Andrew Ficus, and you know, this mission trip, it was just so much fun. It was excellent, and I can't wait to go back there. So I wanted to share a little story with you, and I have a verse from Matthew 5:14, and it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So when we were on the mission trip, during the lunch break, there was this field across from the work site, and all the kids were playing soccer, so I was like, you know what? We're going to go over and play soccer. So we all head over there, and we just got really close to the kids, and we were playing soccer and having a blast. And by getting close to them, after that, they came and helped us work on the site. And since we were just so open and kind to them, that helps, that, like, gets them to want to learn more about us. And by doing that, we can show them more about Jesus and what it's like to be a Christian. So I was thinking that we can do the same thing here in America by, you know, getting close to somebody and being friendly and open to them. And then once you do that, then you can share the gospel with them. So that's my story.
Good morning, missionaries. Hell yeah, that sets up. I'm good. I'm blessed to be here. Thanks for allowing me to go. A couple things I wanted to talk about was the, first of all, the importance of the prayer partners that teamed up with our group. There's so many things that can happen, so many injuries, accidents, but through your prayers and prayer support, we all came back and just had a great time. So again, thank you for all your prayers. Let's see. I want to tip my hat to the youth that went down. A lot of these young men and women have never done anything like this before. I've been on a few mission trips throughout Mexico, and when I saw the job site, I knew exactly what was ahead. But for the youth, I mean, once they got going, it was almost like they'd been on many a mission trip, and just the teamwork was just phenomenal. We accomplished a lot of things. If you saw in some of the photos of the church building, most of the construction down there is concrete and block, just because of concrete and so the concrete and the cement and all that, those materials are plentiful down there, so they normally build everything out of concrete. When we got there, the block walls were built, but the steel reinforced columns were still needed to be poured. There's a chain of steel on that's called the top beam. It's called a carena, which goes around the top wall on the top of the wall, which ties all the walls together. And if the team hadn't been, you know, if the team hadn't gotten that top carena poured, that building is very flimsy. It's very susceptible, and that hurricane that came through would have taken that building down. So I praise God for allowing us to get that building up and get it secured before we left. Every evening, Ryan would bring in the group together at the monastery where we were staying at, and he would just ask the group, what was your high and what was your low for the day? In my opinion, it was only highs. There was never a low. Everything that we did was just one step forward to building a kingdom. So I just want to give God the glory for that. Mr. Ficus was talking about playing soccer with some of the guys, and I looked over there, and I just wondered how they could run around continuously after working hard all day. The benefit of youth. Amen. Amen. So.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Tyler. I go to LaPorte High School. I play football and run track. I'm 16 years old. During this trip, like many trips, you have expectations, and you're not really sure what it's going to be like exactly. You just kind of got a rough idea. And I had a picture in my head that there'd be nothing done, and we're going to have to start this church from scratch. And I was surprised when we got there. There's a lot of stuff done, and I was, like, super excited to get started, and it was really cool. My second expectation was I was not expecting to build, like, a giant hole for their septic tank. So we're in here, we're digging, we get, like, 3 feet deep on the second day. We're all pumped. We're like, heck yeah, we're getting this done. And then they measure it again, and we're, like, not even that much farther, like, a foot. We're like, okay. We're getting there, and they're like, how deep is it? 10 feet? Oh, okay. Shoot. And then the backhoe comes in, and our prayers were answered. We got that done, and then, yeah, it was awesome. And then we got a lot done. We got, like, most of the walls built up, I think. How high was it? How many blocks? I don't know. Yeah. We got, like, I don't know, most of the way done. probably like 8 feet out of like the 10 feet deep. And it was really cool. My favorite part, and I wasn't expecting this, but the kids were like so supportive, and they always came and like helped us out whenever we needed it. And just like they saw us working, and like Andrew said earlier, they saw like how connected we were like with God, and they just like wanted to be with us and with him, and that we could share with them like about him. So that's all I have.
Hello. My name is Nick. I had the privilege of being an adult leader on this trip. I just wanted to elaborate real quick on the hole, just to put it in perspective for all you guys. This hole was, when you're down in this hole, when it was after the tractor came and dug it out, it was really deep. When you're down there, it felt like this, like the sun would rise in the hole and like circle the hole. And it just amplified the heat that was in there. There was no wind. It was absolutely, it was just crazy being down there. Tyler and Drayson and, I mean, just everybody that was down there digging, they just were champions down there. Another thing I wanted to hit on real quick was getting out of your comfort zone and stuff. So here in the States, I'm used to, you know, when you're working on a job, you go by OSHA rules, everything's safe and all this, you know. So the very first day we're down there, we meet this guy named Enrique, and he was like the job foreman. He knew everything on the job site. And so he starts having us scab up these, this like ghetto rigged like scaffolding. And he just like scabs it up on the side of the wall. He has a piece of board here and a piece of board here, and they throw a plank up between two of them on a window. And so anyway, so some people got up there, were laying brick down, and I got up there, and I really didn't want to because I'm probably twice the size of everybody down there. And so the stuff already kind of swayed and everything, you know, and bowed really bad. They had to put two boards on there to support my weight. And, you know, it was pretty interesting moment, to say the least. But the thing that I thought was really cool, though, was how resourceful they were. They could use the same tool on three different jobs. They were really good about that, really talented at it at that. So one of the cool stories, though, every night VBS would go and they would be with people on their end, and we'd hear about it at night. We'd hear the stories, them interacting with the locals and that. And Mary, she's going to share more in depth here after us, but she had a little girl that that she had met. Or a little girl or a little boy, she told her that her dad didn't want their family to go to church, didn't really let the family go to church, but the kids were allowed to go to VBS while we were there, so that was pretty cool to see that, you know, and Mary would touch base and share that with us, and so then Mary met the mom. The mom came to the VBS one day, and she shared that at night, and I thought that was pretty interesting, you know, but she kept telling us that the dad wasn't around, the dad wouldn't go to church, and, you know, it was a little frustrating, but she kept praying, she kept telling us about how passionate she was every night. It was so cool to watch, you know, and at that time, I didn't think that that was going to impact me a whole lot, because I didn't get to experience that with the kids Rosita, I think was her name. But anyway, so the very last day that we were working there, we had a gentleman come up. Oh, so we had random guys come up to the hole, and we'd always just ask them if they knew how to lay block, you know, just to get more help down there. And so this guy came to the hole, and we asked him if he wanted to come help us lay block, and he came and helped us, and he was pretty good, and we talked the whole time. And I didn't put anything together. I did not put him, tie him with the family at all, but we climbed out of the hole later around lunchtime, and Mary was taking a picture with that guy and the family, and then somebody came up to me and said that this was the guy that was so against coming to church this whole time, you know. And so it was then that I was able to put together just a small slice of our impact being there, you know, just one family that we were able to touch, and it just really blew me away. So that was my experience.
Hello, my name is Juliana Kroll. I am 15 years old, and I'm going to New Prairie. And this is my first time ever going on a missions trip. My dad has gone on many missions trips to Mexico to help out people with churches and all. And I missed the opportunity to go to Puerto Rico yet last year, so this year I knew I had to go. I wanted to experience what he has told me about his missions trips and just get the feeling of what it feels like to help somebody in like a different country and stuff. So when I went down there, it was so different. I didn't expect that the places that they stayed in, like their houses, they were just so different. And it was just life-changing. I would go back in a second if I could. When we went to the job site, as I've grown up through the past, like I've seen my dad work, you know, in his construction jobs and how he communicates with people. And so when I saw him work with all these people in Belize, I've kind of figured out that it's kind of worn off on me, and I've kind of figured out that I really want to help people and work hard. And so he's been really kind of pushing me through that and getting me to, you know, help people a lot more, and I thank him for that. And
so what her and Paul didn't tell you is that I saw her lifting up 75-pound concrete buckets up to pour the top beams. They don't have the kind of resources that we have here in the States. So to pour the top support beams up there and the horizontal beams, they have to build the forms and then reuse those same forms. So it's very hard to do more than one thing at a time. But we have to haul it all by 5-gallon buckets. So the students were lifting it up, scaffolding, person by person all day long, 75-pound buckets, one after another. And you see, she's not very, very large. I couldn't believe that she could lift that up all day. She wouldn't let us help her. She had it. That's why she got the nickname Beast Mode down there. That's what I was blown away by. I went to Puerto Rico, and it was an awesome experience. And the students blew me away down there. They worked that mission completely out of work. They actually came to us and said, tell your team to slow down. We don't have enough work for the next groups coming in. Well, when I showed up here, I realized that wasn't going to be an issue. There was a ton of work. So there was lots and lots of work there. But like Paul said, we did get the top support beams all poured, and they never planned on us getting that far. The missionary, he never thought that our group would get that much work done. It just was out of his, it blew his mind that we were able to stay. It was actually the last day we weren't done with it, and we had a group of kids. The one van had to leave, so my van, they decided we can stay back and finish pouring this wall. The students decided to give up their dinner and shower time to stay before church, so they weren't going to be able to shower, to keep pouring that wall, keep pouring that last support beam, so that they would have that part of it completely done when they left, so they could put a stamp on it and say, now you're completely ready for a roof, and that's what they're waiting on. So I was just blown away by the hard work of the students. Anybody that helped, anybody that prayed, anybody that helped send somebody, if you're a parent, you should just be so, so proud of them. It brought tears to my eyes. It was emotional to see them grow, to see them, the hard work they did. I could not believe it. I work in the trades along with some of these guys, and that was, I just couldn't believe how much work they got done and how hard they did it. Another thing down there is they just don't have the resources we have. So to be able to get that kind of work done, it was much harder than doing it here. As you saw, like digging holes, and they don't have as many tools, so we're limited to small portions of stuff, and even wood had to be reused over and over again. But Nick had talked about Enrique. Enrique made a big impact on my life because he had a little daughter I met the first day that was 3 years old, and I have a little daughter. So I saw him interacting, and he was kind of the foreman of the job. He had taken off work that entire week to be there so that he could help us further the project as much as possible. He would show up 2 hours early, stay after we were done, and then he would go to church every single night. They have church every single night in Belize. So he would go, and his wife and his family would help out. He had 4 kids, so taking off work was a big, huge sacrifice for him because they're working for food is what they're working for down there. So our church had made donations, and each kid was given $5 to fulfill a need. So each kid at the Ryan would ask at the night, has anybody found what they're going to do with their $5? I said, I want to give mine to Enrique. I'm going to come up with some other money I had brought, and I said I want to at least supplement some of his income that he lost this week. So I had a couple other students and adults come up to me and say, I want to donate to that too. And they weren't donating just their $5. They were donating their spending money, their food money. And so at the end of it, our church had, just the group that we had down there, had came up with $240 of their own money. So to put that in perspective, $240 to Enrique is approximately over 2 weeks' pay, because they say he'll probably make $25 a day, our money, if he's busy. So he has a hard time finding work. So he says he plans after the church to come to the United States someday. We'd like to give him a job, so hopefully he will be here and you'll all be able to meet him. But he's waiting on a work visa, and he wants to make sure the church is done, because that is his final goal, is to get that done before anything. He said that was his first priority. But just to be able to sit in the church, when I presented him with that the note of our information and stuff, so that he had our business name and stuff that he could write down, it was just, I was able to talk to him and tell him I saw him all week with his family, and I saw him how hard he worked, and see him interact with his kids. It was truly amazing, and I thought he was a very godly man, and I looked up to him in that aspect, and I hope I could be a father as well as he is. And he just started bawling, and then we were able to give him the money, and he was just overwhelmed. So that was all because of the support of the church, and just to be able to see God work through all the students, it truly impacted people here, people there, all around the world, and it's just exciting to see what's to come. So thank you.
Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all good things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I'd like to talk today about one way we fulfill our purpose. God calls us to spread out over the earth, spreading his word and proclaiming his name. God blessed this church so wonderfully with a congregation willing to send a team more than 1,800 miles to do just this. I think God handpicked the 28 people that traveled for reasons that were special to him. It was so amazing to be part of a group so willing to serve and watch as everyone grew closer during the week to each other and to God. The willingness, attitude, flexibility, leadership, work ethic, and humbleness of each and every team member is far exceeded any expectation that we could have had, even for ourselves. These students were amazing, and within the first day, with a simple soccer game, they bridged any boundaries there may have been and joined our team in the community as one group. Our main motto for the entire week was that it was not about us, it was about God. We gave God the credit and the glory for every shovel lifted, every concrete bucket poured, every friend made, every service attended, every person witnessed to, every gift given, every bit of laughter, and every tear cried. God has blessed this church with outstanding pastors to help us strive to fulfill our purpose. God was definitely in control, but I think that for that 10 days, Pastor Ryan was a second-hand man. I'd like to share with you just a few of the roles that Pastor Ryan filled. Pastor Ryan was planner, organizer, and travel agent. He was the liaison between us and our local missionary, Alfonso Alaya, and his wife, Elizabeth. He was holder of passports, banker, treasurer, and accountant. Pastor Ryan worked hard physically along with side everybody else. He was also a driver, and I might add, he was one of the few drivers that was able to get on and off the ferry every time without falling off. He was the meal planner, social director, as well as picture taker, Facebook poster, and phone lender. Pastor Ryan was preacher, devotional leader, and counselor. He preached 3 outstanding sermons in 3 different churches that we visited. He led our group through devotions each evening, and there were countless one-on-one trips with students in the van to either cool them off in the air conditioning, provide an opportunity for one-on-one conversation, or counseling if needed. Most of all, Pastor Ryan was our friend. He led us way beyond our comfort zones and helped us to explore and share in areas that we would not have thought we could. Watching that group plan, organize, and execute a vacation Bible school on the fly was amazing. Many stood and spoke during church services, and that was heartwarming. Every person witnessed to the local folks as we worked alongside them. Around the work site, there were some local people that didn't join us, but they watched us all week. They watched, and what they witnessed was the hands and feet of Jesus working, laughing, and loving. We laughed during the week, sometimes until our stomachs hurt, and we cried, sometimes we sobbed. I speak for all of us when I say thank you, Pastor Ryan, for leading us closer to God and as a group and as individuals on this mission, and for challenging us to share in ways that brought us together as a group forever bonded. In one of his sermons, Pastor Ryan spoke about Moses and the burning bush. The main takeaway from the sermon for me was the question posed, how many bushes did Moses walk by before he stopped to talk to God? And how many burning bushes do we walk by every day? And after participating in this mission, I feel so strongly about our purpose as a church to make disciples of all nations and to love others as Jesus first loved us. I don't want to pass up any more burning bushes. And as a matter of fact, I want to look for them and look for opportunities to serve and listen to God and obey his commands. Our trip to Belize and working alongside the community of Billy White will be one of the best experiences in many of our lives. Thank you again for the opportunity you provided, and we look so forward to continuing our ministries, both local and abroad.
Good morning. Good morning. Am I loud enough? Okay. I'm just going to share a little story about me getting out of my comfort zone in Belize. I hate public speaking with a passion. I get so nervous and I get anxiety. So on the way to the first night of church, I was in Ryan's van, and he goes, everyone, one person from each van has to speak in the church tonight. And everything got silent in my van. And I was like, oh God. So I volunteered to speak just to get it out of the way. And when I'm at the church, I go up there, and I look over. He's in the corner just videotaping the whole thing, and which made me even more nervous. And then I looked at everyone, and my mind just went completely blank. I was like, oh, no. So I started sweating, and I couldn't think of anything to say, but at the same time, I was still saying something, and I really felt like it was God speaking through me to those people to get out of my comfort zone. And what I was speaking of was, I didn't know what I believed in when I went down there. I was confused about what I wanted to believe in, if there even was anything to believe in. And by the end of the trip, I ended up getting baptized, which was amazing. The first one to get baptized in a bikini by Pastor Ryan. Thanks. And the trip was just unbelievable. I'm never going to forget it, like, ever. I made so many new friends. I actually made a friend. His name is Edwin. Oh, he's just such a sweetheart. His mom made me write down my address so he could write to me every month. And I'm just going to send him so many things. And I promised him my phone when I get a new one. So, yeah.
Hello. like Lynn alluded to, in Romans 8:28, talks about God's will, his purpose for his people. And, you know, we saw with this trip how God used 28 people to fulfill a purpose that he had in Belize. He started with our youth pastor. He led Ryan to spearhead this trip. He partnered Ryan with Alfonso in Belize, our missionary down there, that once we got to know him, we love him, we love his wife. You had Ryan that had just had a newborn baby. He had to leave his wife and his child and take 28 of us misfits down there. You had Alfonso that absolutely hates the heat. We saw how God, you know, he followed God's will and he followed God's purpose. He hated the heat, but when God sent him to Guatemala and then Belize, Alfonso said yes. The same thing with Pastor Ryan. He hates to fly, and real traumatic for him. he still flew, not just one time, two times, and then connecting flights and all that. I can't imagine having that fear and having to go through that. So we saw God's will and purpose play out every single day. Even before we went, we saw you as a church body that just gave. Your prayers uplifted us, and you gave from your pocketbooks and billfolds. And we thank you for that. We saw Heilman School donate books. These books were like gold bars to the kids in Belize. They absolutely loved the books. We couldn't have given them anything but books, and they would have been just ecstatic about that. So God asked us to follow his will and his purpose, and you know, from birth to death, that little dash in between, it, you know, God just asked that we trust him, and he's going to use that little dash in between our birth and our death to fulfill his purpose and his will. God knew our strength and our weaknesses. He knew how we would all meld together and uplifting each other through some long days of hard work. And just, we're going to see the effects of the work that was done in Belize, not just in this mission trip and building church, digging the hole, doing the rebar and the wiring and putting on a vacation Bible school. It wasn't just about that. God was growing us. We've already seen that. We've seen the baptisms. We've seen rededications to Christ. We've seen so much. Sorry, I'm forgetting. We saw so much and God's work. Let me take you back to Claire. Was on the vacation Bible school team, and the very last VBS that we put on, I believe it was the very last one, she said, you know, she felt really heart-driven to do the story of Esther. And if you remember that story, Esther was a queen, and the king did not know that she was Jewish, and that had been kept secret. And she was given the task. She was probably born to this task. God had purposed her for this, and her task was to go to the king and ask that the Jewish people be saved because they were doomed to execution. And Esther was reminded by her uncle Mordecai, the man that raised her after her parents died, that or her cousin, I'm sorry, that how do you not know that you weren't born for a time like this? And Esther stood up and she faced the king knowing that she could be killed or executed and asked that the Jewish people be saved, and they were. Our trip to Belize and everything that we did and that's still being done may not be as spectacular as Esther's story, but I truly believe we're going to continue to see aspects of God working. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we may even see a missionary out of this group, maybe more than one. I think we'll see more trips to Belize. One thing that we can do to help, we've talked this over, and the Belize children, we believe, start school near the end of August or the beginning week of September. And so we're going to do a donation out in the vestibule. If you have book bags, pens, paper, pencils, highlighters, anything that kids would need to start school, we would love to be able to send that down there. So that's going to be our first donation that we send down there. We'll send it to Pastor and our missionary, Alfonso. We'll send it to him, and he'll distribute it to the three churches that we dealt with down there and to the people in those communities. And then 3 months after that, we'll send something else. That'll probably be around Thanksgiving, Christmas time. And we'll find out what a need is around that time of year from Alfonso, and we'll do the same thing. So if you'd like to be part of that, we'd like to get this done in the next 2 weeks. So if you have any school material supplies that you'd like to bring in, we'll have a box of some type out in the vestibule so we can donate. Like Nick alluded to, every one of us have memories that we're taking from Belize. And one of my awesome memories was, like Nick said, the story of Rosita. We got to know her five children. They came to VBS every day. We found out that, you know, Dad did not want them going to church, but he would allow them to come to Bible school. And we didn't get to meet the mom and dad. We'd see them come home from work about the time that we were leaving. Well, the last day of vacation Bible school, Rosita is home early, or maybe we went late, and I am able to meet her. And we're handing out things at the van, and Rosita saw something in the van that she wanted. And I went to hand it to her, and then I held on to it, and I just said that, Rosita, I want you to make me a promise. I want you to make me a promise that you will go to church one time with your children. Her children were just so awesome during VBS, like it was spoke about earlier. They were there to help pick music for VBS. They helped in so many aspects of that, and they just absolutely loved the church. I couldn't imagine them not being able to go. And so Rosita jokingly said, just put it back in the van. And I said, and then I'm scared to death, man, did I really speak out of turn maybe I shouldn't have asked her to make that promise. Long story short, at the end of our conversation, she said, I'll do it. The next day, we go to the work site, and just like Nick said, I'm there and I'm taking some pictures of everything as we start the day and everything, and here's a gentleman that I haven't seen before. And he's there before we got there. Just talked to him, we exchanged some pleasantries and everything, and then we go on about our work. Well, at the end of the day, we're taking some family pictures and everything because this is our last work day. And taking some family pictures, and there's Rosita. And I said, Rosita, can I get a whole picture of your whole family? And she says, yeah. And she said, well, wait a minute, let me get my husband. I said, is he here? And she says, yeah, and pointed over by the cement mixer. And here is the man that I had spoke to earlier in the day that I just thought was so good and so kind, and he was there working as long as we were there, and he was still working when we left. And again, a long story short, I can't imagine, I haven't heard yet from Rosita, but I can't imagine that a man that came that last day, came over there and was working before we got there on a church that he wouldn't allow his family to attend, that they aren't in church today. So hopefully that's true. We'll see, but I know that we touched Rosita's heart. I know we touched that family. That's just one of the many stories that we have from down there.
We're going to land this plane, and I'm in a swimsuit for a reason. Don't send me emails. It'll make sense here in a minute. So, Betsy, would you go ahead and share, and then Ryan, and then Danny, you and I will wrap it up.
Hi, my name is Betsy Searle, and I just graduated from LaPorte this year. Yeah. And so I just want to thank each and every person in this room who either donated money or donated items that we gave away to the community down there, or just donated your time to pray for us. Because I tell you, some of those prayers came in handy some of those last couple days. But yeah, it just means so much. And even if the kids up here haven't said it already, we thank you so much, because none of this would have been possible without you guys. And so I think one thing where your prayers really came through was God really gave us all a very hardworking attitude. And I know me, I get lazy about going up the stairs. You know, I don't even want to do that. But but I just, like, when we were there, it just felt like sitting down and taking a break just felt wrong. It just, because there was just so much work to do, it felt like we were just, you know, skimping out and being lazy, just taking a break that we probably really needed. So I feel like I'm bragging about everybody up here. Like, oh, yeah, we worked really hard, but I feel like that was God through us. So that's.
All right. Hi, my name is Ryan Preston. I was given this opportunity to go as an adult on this trip down to Belize. And today, I wanted to, or this morning, I wanted to share with you the trust that we built down there, not only with the people of Belize and the city of, Billy White, but the trust we built as a group, too. So to start it off, the first day we get out of the vans, everybody's all ready, set, ready to go and start building this thing. And things started off slow. We were working with Enrique, and he was hopping up and down off the scaffolding, teaching us every little thing to do. And there was this feeling out process that needed to happen. But fast forward a couple days after that, he's trusting us to lay the CMU walls. He's trusting us to dig holes, to pour the foundation for the septic tank and all these things. And then to build off of that, the trust that we had, we grew as a group. One story that was funny for me and showed the trust was Andrew Ficus was, we were up late one night and he grabbed his roommate's water bottles, and he decided to put X-Lax in them. Needless to say, that trust was kind of voided there, but they didn't end up drinking them because they were disgusting looking. But in all seriousness, one night we did show a lot of trust, and Danny is going to share this story with you, so I'll leave it to him.
Yeah, as Ryan said, we're going to try to land this plane fast, and that'll kind of keep me from doing what Mary's done a lot of up here. I shared this story with our group while we were down there. While we were at the ruins, Ryan got a text. And
got a text from Danny's daughter asking for prayer, basically.
Yeah, Kylene suffers from depression. She started about 20 years ago when she was 16. The text came through as we were walking out, and it basically said, "The devil's on me. He's got me. My dad'll know what I'm talking about. Please share it with him." So Ryan says this will work out really well when we get back to where we're staying, because this is part of the program. So he calls me up right away, and so I explained to everybody there how the devil's real. It's not just something we read about or we hear about. We've experienced it through my daughter with everything that she's done, everything that she's had to deal with. And here 20 years after our first, you know, awakening, I guess, to this, she's struggling. She knows what it's like to have to deal with him. One thing quick, when she was at a hospital in Chicago, we picked my son up from college. We take him up to the hospital. He brought his Bible. Kylene would sit on the edge of the bed, and he would read out of that Bible, and her head would just slowly go down. Her eyes would get squinty and cat-eyed looking, and she would just stare at the floor. Once Matt finished reading from the Bible, her head would come up, her eyes would round out again, but she really didn't have any idea what she had just done. So many things over her life have come on to her and created this problem. So I tell the whole story, which took a whole lot longer than this and a whole lot more tears than this. I go to sit down, and Ryan kicks the chair out. The chair. Sit down. We're going to do a laying on of hands and pray for you.
So one of the scriptures in our journal talked about how we lay hands on people when they're in need. And so Danny went first, and we laid hands on him and prayed for him and his family and Kylene, which was all happening that day. And as we started praying for him, 3 minutes into the prayer, I get a text. We didn't tell her we were praying at that moment, from Kylene, saying, "You must be praying for me. I'm feeling it right now. So don't tell me prayer doesn't work. Prayer is powerful." And we saw it right there. And when Danny was done, I kind of got the sense that God wasn't done yet. You think this is long. We're 2.5 hours. we had this white chair in the middle, and student after student after student came forward and poured their heart out as to what God was doing in their lives and what they needed prayer for. And when I think on those things, I get choked up because of the trust that we'd built in each other, and the honesty and the raw expression of emotion that came out. This isn't just about building a building. It's about building a church, which is people coming together. And these are our brothers and sisters. This is our church in Belize. This is our church. These are our family. These are our people. And so it is our goal to hopefully form a partnership with them that lives long beyond this day and long beyond this trip, but into the years to come. Paul touched on it briefly, but if you've been watching the news at all, go to our Facebook page. South Bend TV did a spot on us on the mission trip, and it's on the church Facebook page. But not 10 days after we get back, a hurricane comes through. And Paul touched on this and had that header not get poured all the way around that church, had that team not stayed behind to do that, there's a good chance that those bricks crumble to the ground. So God put this team... I wasn't going to do this. God put this team there at that time for this reason, to get that done so that building is still standing today. I believe that. And I believe that through our prayers of where should we go on missions, that was one of the things that was accomplished. We support each other. We support them. And we're about to experience some real joy. A few of the students that were baptized there, which is why I'm in my swimsuit, want to share that experience with you today. So I'm going to take this off real quick and jump in the tank. And who's first back there? Tyler Benz. If your family wants to come forward so they can get a good look, we're going to baptize Tyler Benz, Andrew Fikus, and Amethyst Worthy. So all the family and friends of Tyler Benz, if you guys want to come to the side, try to leave the middle open so people can see. We're going to baptize these three. And we're going to show a video. You guys can go ahead and leave, but you'll get to see some of the hurricane damage that we'll be playing as we leave when the baptisms are over. All right, Tyler, jump on in here, bud.
All right.
All right. Oh, shoot, everyone's going to work with this.
Look at this, honey.
Oh, shoot.
Wow. You got some friends, brother.
All right, Tyler, just like in Belize, I asked you a question. Do you believe Jesus is Lord of your heart?
Yes.
And you're truly repentant of your sins?
Yes.
And it's your desire to follow him for the rest of your life?
Yes.
All right, because of your response and what God's doing in here, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. All right, the family of Amethyst Worthy, Amethyst family, come on up. Friends, family, gather around. Let Amethyst family members come on in real close here. Make sure they can see.
That looks like a pool.
She just said, her little sister said, this looks like a pool. Oh, it's Michaela's little sister. All right, just like... In Belize, Amethyst, I ask you those three questions. Are you truly forgive? Do you truly repent of your sins?
Yes.
And do you want to follow Lord Jesus from here on out?
Yes.
And he is your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
It's because of that that I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lastly, Andrew Fikus. Everybody in here? We got anybody else come forward? Oh, yeah. All right, Andrew, I asked you those same three questions. Do you truly repent of your sins?
Yes, I do.
And is it your desire to follow the Lord Jesus with all your heart?
Yes.
I'm just proud of all you guys and the example and witness that you are. And because of that, Andrew, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Church, would you stand with me as we pray? Would you all stand up and we'll close in prayer? I'll try to be loud. Father God, thank you so much for this awesome group of young people,
for the joy that they are, for the many blessings that we've experienced, for how you're continuing to move in this place and move in our hearts and our lives and our minds. We give you all the praise and the glory, and I can't wait to see, God, what you do through the youth in this community and through the continued efforts to reach out with this church and work together to further your kingdom. Thank you for family who's gathered around this place, for little sisters who yell out, it looks like a pool, who one day will probably be in this pool with us. And I just look forward to the growing and the advancing of your kingdom. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You are dismissed.